Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I have to confess to you all, it has been a week. I am the chair of our new conference's finance committee, and we are trying to get our 2024 budget together, and we really don't know a whole lot still. I mean, we're still building this airplane while we're flying it, and it's been a crazy week for my other unpaid job as chairman of the finance committee, and I just want to apologize to you because I am not bringing my A game this week, and so my apologies for that. Our text today is going to be from Acts 5, and it 1 through 11, but I told Logan it was 5 through 11. So that was on me. That is not on our screen operator. That's on me. It's Acts 5, 1 through 11. So our sermon series, It's in the Bible, Look It Up, is continuing, and we are looking at some of the difficult passages from the Bible. Things like the sun standing still, and things like the God of love telling the Jews to kill every living thing. And today we're looking at another text that is kind of difficult for us to wrap our minds around when we say God is love. You know, we sometimes look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we almost think that it's like two different gods. There's like the God of the Old Testament that's like angry and turns people into pillars of salt and rains fire down from the sky on people. And then there's the God of the New Testament, the God of love and grace. Well, if that's where your head is, you're wrong. It's one God of the Old and the New Testament. But the truth is, we do have a different kind of relationship with God through the work of Jesus Christ. Through his life and his death and his resurrection, we receive the incredible gift of mercy and grace, and we are made right in the eyes of God. We no longer have to follow the law because we have been given grace. And so we have a different kind of relationship with God. And we experience this love and this grace, but I want to remind you that God is not all sunshine, rainbows, and fuzzy puppies. Our God is a God of judgment. Our God will judge us all. Those of us that are followers of Jesus Christ, we will receive mercy. But without judgment, without us recognizing that we have done something worthy of being judged, there can be no mercy. We will all be judged, and I happen to think pastors will get a little extra judgment day as leaders of the church. And look, I think it is going to be something like your dad calling you into his office when you've misbehaved. And he looks at you and he says, "Son, I am so disappointed in you." I think there is going to be that moment. I think there's a moment that I'm going to stand before God and he's going to go, Mike, I gave you all of this and this is what you got done with it. But then there will be rejoicing as I enter at least the door of heaven. I'll get in the gate. But there is judgment that is a part of our God. Jesus talks about it throughout his ministry. Remember the parable of the sheep and the goats, or the wheat and the tares? We will receive mercy. But our God also will judge us. But judgment really is not the theme of today's text. But it is one of the harder texts in the New Testament for us to deal with. Today's text comes from the book of Acts, which was written by the author of Luke as well. So Luke and Acts were written by the same person. And it comes at a time when the church is just beginning. And they are living in community together. And they are selling things. And they are giving those things to the church, and they are being distributed as each has a need. And the interesting thing about this particular text is that it shows some dysfunction showing up already in the early church. And I love that the writers of the gospel and the writer of the Holy Scriptures are not afraid to show sort of the warts of the early church, that there is already some dysfunction that is happening around the early church. So our text today comes from Acts 5, 1 through 11. But a man named Ananias was, with the consent of his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. With his wife's knowledge, he kept back some of the proceeds and brought only a part and laid it on at the apostles' feet. Ananias, Peter asked, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, were not the proceeds at your disposal? How is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You did not lie to us, but to God. Now when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard of it. The young men came and wrapped up the body, then carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter said to her, tell me whether you and your husband sold the land for such and such a price. And she said, yes, that was the price. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately she fell down at his feet and died. When the young men came in, they found her dead, so they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear seized the whole church and all who heard of these things. This is the word of God for the people of God. This is one of the more difficult passages in the New Testament. One that pastors have to restrain themselves to not use during stewardship. Give to God or die! I have not ever used that as a part of stewardship, because the truth is, our giving to God is not to be done under threat. It's to be done out of joy. It is done out of a recognition on your part of the amazing gift that you have received, and you should give to God out of nothing but joy and gratitude for the amazing gift that you have been given in grace and redemption and eternal life. I give to God because there is nothing else that I can do in response to the amazing gift of grace that I have received. Now, it's interesting. This text does not explicitly say that God caused these people to die, Ananias and Sapphira. Some scholars speculate that they died of fright. Whatever the case, they cheated God. That's really what the story is about. The story isn't about not giving. The story is about conspiring to cheat God. As if God wouldn't know you were cheating him. Really? God sees all and knows all. God calls for us as followers of Jesus Christ to give our whole self, all of us. When we accept the gift of grace and salvation, we say, Jesus is the Lord of my life. And that means that you give all of you. That means all the stuff you got. It means all that you are. It means all that you have. It means all that you am. Your whole person is given over to the kingdom of God. I'm not saying that we have to follow the methods of the early church that we see in this text. But what I am saying, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you should be all in for the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but this story reminds me of how I am always holding something back. We have this propensity to hold back parts of our life. I mean, Jesus, you are my Lord of everything but my retirement account. Or Jesus, you are Lord of everything, but I'm only going to come to church once a month. Or Jesus, you are Lord of my life, but don't mess with my golf time. The truth is, we all sort of hold things back. I mean, some of you may have seen the bumper sticker that says, Jesus is my co-pilot. The truth of that is, if Jesus is your co-pilot, you're in the wrong seat. Jesus should be the pilot of your life. Jesus should be steering your airplane. The gift of redemption that has come to us requires that we be all in. So what does all in look like? What does that really look like? You know, the 4th of July is just around the corner. All in looks like having the courage to sign the Declaration of Independence. Those signers of that Declaration of Independence were signing their death warrant if we lost. This idea of freedom for themselves and for all of the people that made up the early colony was enough for them to go all in. They were declaring independence from the baddest country on the planet at the time. And their prospect was dim. And yet they signed their name on this document that declared independence. There's no taking it back. There's no, oops, I didn't mean to do that. It's in writing for the whole world to see. And they were willing to risk everything that they had for freedom. Some of the signers of the Declaration of Independence died in the war, fighting for that freedom that they had declared. Some literally lost everything they possessed in that war. One of George Washington's fellow officers encouraged George Washington to open fire upon his own home, not George's home, but his other officer's home, because the British had taken it over as a headquarters. And he encouraged George Washington to shell it. Now, you've all seen the Declaration of Independence, hopefully. And what is the signature that you see? The big one. It's John Hancock. Right? Have you had somebody ask you for your John Hancock? That's what it's about. John Hancock signed the Declaration of Independence in letters about this big. They were huge. And this is what John Hancock said about that. I wrote my script so big so George III could read my name without spectacles and could now double his reward of £500 for my head. If the cause of the revolution commands it, roared Hancock, burn Boston and make John Hancock a beggar. You want all in, folks? That's all in. John Hancock and the other signers of the Declaration of Independence were all in on this idea of a free nation, of being free from tyranny. And so my question for you today is, what does all in look like for you when we're talking about your life with Christ? Are you all in? Are you just sort of dipping your toe in? Are you sort of waiting to see how this thing kind of works itself out? Or are you all in like John Hancock and the other signers of the Declaration of Independence? I encourage you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, to go all in. Trust Him. Trust the Lord of the universe with all that you have, with all that you are. Trust in Him, and you will find that He will do amazing things in your life. Go all in today. Go all in for Jesus. Let us pray. Oh, holy God, we confess that we hold things back. There may be some things in our life that we try to keep you out of, as if you wouldn't know. Father, help us in our unbelief, in our unwillingness to give all to you. And Father, help us to go all in for the kingdom of God, for this little community that we call Atascocita Methodist. Help us to be all in for her, for your kingdom, and for you. Father God, help us in our unbelief. Help us to trust where we struggle to trust. We thank you for the gift of grace. It is so undeserved, but which we happily claim. We say thank you, Lord. Thank you, and help us to be all in for you. We pray this in Jesus' holy name.